And good morning. Welcome to Focus. It's our morning talk show. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us, listening on WILL AM, or perhaps you're watching on our website. We are webcasting the show today. That's WILL.illinois.edu. Either way, we're glad to have you with us. Harriet Williamson is the producer for the show, and Jason Croft is at the controls this hour. And we're happy to be doing here another conversation. It's one of a series of conversations that we've been having for candidates that will be competing in Illinois' March primary, which is now next week. And our guest for the program this morning is Matt Getten. He is one of two Democrats seeking their party's spot on the ballot in the new 13th Congressional District. It's a district that starts on one end in Champaign and Urbana and then goes to the southwest all the way over to the Mississippi River and includes parts of Bloomington. Also, Decatur is in the district, some of Springfield, and a number of other towns as well. So we've asked the candidates to come and be on the program so that you'll have the opportunity to talk with them and ask questions about whatever issue is really most important to you. Let me give you just a little bit more background on Matt Getten. He's a graduate of the University of Illinois, has a bachelor's degree in psychology and also a master's degree in labor relations. He has a degree in law from Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. He serves in the Illinois National Guard. He's a captain with the Illinois Air National Guard. He enlisted in 2009, or was deployed in 2009 to Afghanistan. So he served there, and his duties included serving legal needs of troops in remote operating bases throughout the country. He serves as the county state's attorney for Greene County and was elected to that position in 2004. And we're glad to have him here in the studio with us. And for people, again, listening and watching, we are open to your questions. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line. That one's good anyway that you can hear us, 800-222-9455. And the email is will-talk@illinois.edu. Hey, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave.
I think I also did not mention that you live in Carrollton, which is north of somewhat north of St. Louis.
That's correct. It's directly north of St. Louis, as the crow flies.
Okay. Well, let me begin with this. Clearly, we know that a lot of people are unhappy with Congress. The approval ratings for Congress are quite low, and the people are very unhappy about what they perceive as inability to deal with important issues. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've read about you is that, in fact, your own feelings of frustration over that prompted you to run. What are you going to do about that?
Well, it did prompt me to run. You know, I tell the story about my son and him telling the story as I sat there becoming more and more frustrated, asking why somebody doesn't do something about it. And my son quipped, "Well, Dad, you're somebody." And as a 16-year-old, he's known to make some quips like that. What am I going to do about it? Look, I'm interested in going to Congress, fighting for working men and women here in Central Illinois. As I look and travel throughout this district and talking to working men and women here in Central Illinois, it's evident to me that their concern is jobs, job creation, business climate that produces jobs. Also, a great deal of concern about the future of Social Security and Medicare. And you know, we hear that over and over. But your question more pointedly was, why am I better than what we have, or why am I different than what we have? Mm. In my background as the Greene County State's Attorney, I've had to work with a largely Republican county board. We go into the boardroom. We battle back and forth. I never get 100% of what I want. They never get 100% of what they want. But at the end of the day, we keep the focus on the citizens of Greene County. Mm-hmm. I think as I've viewed this over the last 5-6 years, it seems that Washington, D.C. has lost focus on the people that they're purporting to represent. It seems to me that they have taken a bigger interest in the special interests in getting reelected to office. That's the primary goal, as I see it, of people running for Congress, people in Congress right now. They take the interests of the big banks, of pharmaceutical companies, of big oil over the interests of the middle class families who don't have the expensive lobbyists to speak. So I have a history of service. You touched on it. I joined the National Guard in 1999 in part as a way to help me pay for law school. I was a young father of two. I enlisted in the National Guard. Illinois has a great history of of the National Guard, and Illinois, the state, takes very good care of its soldiers and airmen in the National Guard. We have what's called the Illinois Guard Grant here in Illinois, which provides 100% tuition for men and women who are serving in the National Guard. I utilized that to go to law school, and in 2005, my initial service obligation was up. Of course, that's post 9/11, but I decided to take a commission as a JAG officer, and so I've served in that capacity, but also as the Greene County State's Attorney. Service is important to me, but it's not only that. You know, I have been a high school teacher, and I was a small business owner for a time. So I guess it's a matter of perspective on what's important to people in Central Illinois, and I think I can bring that to Congress.
All right. Well, I tell you, we have a couple of callers here who have been waiting here patiently, and I will try to talk about in more detail about a number of these things, but rather than making them wait, we'll get right to the phones.
Yes, sir.
Starting with Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have three related questions. How much of a problem is sexual harassment in the workplace? What federal legislation would you sponsor as a remedy? And what is your position on ENDA, which is the Employee Non-Discrimination Act? Thank you.
All right. Well, go ahead.
If I may, David, I didn't ask for a sheet of paper.
Oh, you want to be able to make some notes?
Somewhat of a complicated
question. We'll pick you right up. If there's one thing we got around here, it's plenty of pieces
right.
of paper. There
Thank
you go.
Thank you so much. question is, in my background as the Greene County State's Attorney, of course, I deal with the criminal aspects of that type of harassment. What you're talking about is administrative remedies through federal administrative proceedings, and the current state of that. Look, again, going back to my background, I'm a strong advocate for victims' rights in the court system. I have been trained through the University of Illinois, the Industrial and Labor Relations School, back in the mid-90s on those issues. The current state of fairness in the workplace, that's important to me. And you wrote the question down, David.
I apologize. So she was interested in your position on sexual harassment in the workplace, what sort of remedies are available. And then I must admit that I'm not sure what ENDA stands for.
And I must admit that I'm not familiar with that bill.
Well, I tell you what, if we could do a better job of responding to the question, the caller is certainly welcome to call back.
Sure.
We'll, in the meantime, go on to Champaign for someone else here, line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I was wondering, how can we expect you to act independently and free of corporations if you're accepting corporate and Wall Street PAC money? Thank you.
All right.
Well, I think the listener or the watcher on the internet would be happy to note that I've not taken any of those contributions to my campaign.
So you're not taking any political,
I have not taken
any PAC money.
I think his question was more pointedly, have you taken corporate or corporate PAC money?
All right.
Yeah.
So
no,
who are the main supporters of your campaign?
Well, I have a great deal of support, which really starts with my support base in Greene County. You know, as the Greene County State's Attorney, it's sort of a different animal getting elected to a countywide office than it is trying to run for a federal office in a congressional district. And so most of my support comes from Greene County into Jersey County. I have support on the west side of this region, but we have a widespread base of support, and I simply haven't taken any contributions from any of those.
All right. Well, again, questions here are welcome. Our guest is Matt Getten. He is one of two Democrats competing in the primary here in Illinois next week to have their party spot in the new 13th congressional district. His opponent in the primary, David Gill, was on this program on Tuesday, March 6th. That's archived on our website. If you want to watch or listen, you certainly can. I do also want to mention again that both candidates, Matt Getten and David Gill, will be taking part in a live televised debate that will be happening tonight in our studios here at WILL tonight at 7 o'clock, and that'll be on television, on AM, and also online. So you'll have the opportunity again to hear from both candidates. Another caller here, we'll talk with them in Urbana here, line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I called earlier.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Maybe good. You can help us.
As I said, the Employee Non-Discrimination Act. What is your opinion of that, and what federal legislative remedies would you provide to alleviate sexual harassment in the workplace, and how big a problem do you feel that sexual harassment in the workplace is?
Yes, ma'am. I would fight in Congress to pass any legislation that would end workplace discrimination. That is, as a Democrat, as someone who's been in and out of this Central Illinois in the congressional district, this is first time I'm discussing this with someone who's concerned about it, although I will tell you, and again, going back to my training in the labor relations school, we do talk about that quite a bit. I've been out of that area of work for a while, but I would do anything within my power in Congress to eliminate discrimination in the workforce. Is it an issue? It certainly is. It's a lingering issue, but it's one that I would fight to end.
ENDA is one of the laws that is very important to the LGBT community, as is DOMA. Will you support the repeal of DOMA?
Yes, ma'am. DOMA is unconstitutional, and as a lawyer and someone who's trained in the Constitution, I believe that even this Supreme Court will find it to be unconstitutional.
And what is your position on marriage equality?
Yes, I've stated this. I believe it's largely a state right issue, but I'm for equality.
But you would not support a federal marriage equality act?
I would support equality if it was constitutionally sound, for the same reasons that I think that DOMA is unconstitutional, there may be other issues, legal issues with the alternative or with the opposite.
And what would those issues be?
Going back to the Constitution, I think it's a state right issue. I mean, the constitutional issue is it a power that the federal government has and could exercise?
You don't think it would fall under basic civil rights?
Again, I'm for equality, and if it did, DOMA is unconstitutional. I think it falls under equality. Does it fall under basic civil rights? Yes. I mean, I'm for equality.
But you would not. You would or you would not support.
If it would,
I'm sorry. To marry the person they love.
I'm sorry. I'm for equality, but I'm not for passing legislation that is at its inception unconstitutional.
Okie dokie. Thank you.
Other questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Let's talk a little bit about economic issues. You made reference to that earlier, and I think that it certainly is true that what's really on the mind of an awful lot of people is the condition of the national economy and the issue of jobs and job creation. What can the Congress do? Can indeed the Congress, the federal government, do much about creating jobs?
Well, immediately what they could do is pass a transportation appropriations bill, which would fund some of the projects that we have and we've been talking about for the past 3 months. You know, on the west side of this district, we have the 255-67 corridor, which kind of stalled out in Greene County and Jersey counties. Those are state projects, but they rely heavily upon the federal funding for those projects. You know, you have the 51 widening in Decatur, of course, high-speed rail, which is of great interest to people living here in Champaign-Urbana. All of that gets funded through the Highway Transportation Appropriations. There's appropriations I just heard this morning that has been stalled once again. And so the original going back to last week, it looked like that Illinois' appropriations would be 25% less than what was necessary. And so we're left with all of these infrastructure projects, transportation infrastructure projects, which are going to be underfunded. So that's what the federal government can do. We have in central Illinois not only the transportation infrastructure, but we have energy infrastructure that could be invested in. We have communications infrastructure. Where I live in rural Greene County, very difficult to get broadband access, and that's an important, you know, as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking back to when I was in college here in the early 90s, and the internet was just kind of taken off, and the University of Illinois was one of, I think at that time, three places that had a supercomputer. And so, you know, we've led the way. The flagship university, my alma mater here where I sit, has led the way in communication, and I think we can do that again. But it requires investment from the federal government in those programs.
Okay.
You know, and then you talk about education, and I like to talk about Lewis and Clark Community College because that's very close to my home, and I actually took a couple of college courses there before I attended the University of Illinois when I was in high school. They have a great program. It's a partnership program between it's an apprenticeship program with some unions and a partnership program with business, where they train, they do jobs training, get people back to work quickly. We know as we sit here at this great university, you know, the great undergraduate and graduate programs that are no doubt very important to the long-term economic stability, but we can put people back to work quicker with more emphasis on and more federal involvement in the community college districts.
All right. We have some other callers here. And again, they're being patient, so we want to make sure we give them the access as much as we can. So we'll do that again and go back to the phones and start, I believe, with somebody in Champaign, and this is line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Wondering, will you? You have not accepted money from Wall Street and corporate PACs as of yet. Will you continue to do so? Will you turn down Wall Street and corporate PAC money?
Hi Ava. I think that the situation in Wall Street, the way that Wall Street can control our political process, is appalling. And, you and I have discussed that, and we've discussed that in small group settings. It's Wall Street who has lobbyists, and it's middle income. It's, the middle class here in central Illinois with no lobbyists to support their interests. So you're asking me about Wall Street, that is something that's abhorrent to me. You know, the Citizens United decision changed the way politics is going to work. As I sit here today, running for Congress for the first time, thinking about how someone with large amounts of money could come in it's a very difficult thing to put your life bare to the public. And even though I've done that on a level in Greene County for the last 7+ years, this is a whole new experience. Super PACs are not interested in the Greene County State's Attorney's race, but they may be interested in the 13th congressional race. So that frightens me. I mean, the suggestion that you're making is one that is it's just not accurate. I'm not with Wall Street. I'm right here with the middle class.
Well, I know you are. However. What are you going to do? Are you going to turn down PAC money from especially Wall Street?
I've not taken PAC money from Wall Street.
I know you haven't, but will you turn it down once it's offered?
I have not been offered money. I have not been offered money, nor as you're well aware, because you can look at these filings. This is just simply not something that's happening.
Okay, but you know, and I know, that this is a high-profile race, okay? And if the money is offered, just go on a hypothetical basis here with me, Matt. Once the money is offered, will you accept it?
I'm accepting. What I'm going to do is accept what I get from my grassroots, what I get from those people that are important to me, and what I'm telling you is, I'm right here in Central Illinois. I've grown up in rural Greene County, Illinois. I am committed to the working men and women here in Illinois, and the suggestion that that Wall Street is somehow going to purchase me is ridiculous.
No, I know you are a very honorable person, okay? But you've never been in this situation, so and whenever you accept a large donation from somebody, they always expect something. So my question is really very simple: if offered, will you accept money from Wall Street?
I'm only accepting money from anyone who would support us here in Central Illinois. That's it.
Okay. Well, I thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for the call. We have some other folks here. I have a couple of emails. Questions continue to be welcome here. 333-9455. A toll free 800-222-9455. Next up, we'll talk with somebody in Champaign in line 3. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
We've recently had a reminder of a basic discussion all the way back to candidate John Kennedy when he was asked whether his religious affiliation and perhaps even his personal philosophy would be the primary source of deciding issues. Would he listen to the Pope? Would he listen to his own religious upbringing? And that debate leads to the question of how does someone whose personal religious and ethical decisions represent the entire district? The issue of whether abortion is an individual decision, a medical decision, or whether votes on abortion and contraception availability are decided on an individual's moral basis or a civic, what's best for the community, what's best for everybody to get to choose, has come up. So on this recent debate about contraception availability, abortion availability, the extent, whether it's, you know, yes or no in total or under various circumstances or as medical requirements dictate. That is the current issue that brings up whether to decide on the basis of the best interest of the district or what your personal conscience tells you is right and wrong. Could you please address that question of how to be a representative and balance your personal moral decisions?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, first of all, speaking of choice, I David Gill and I just don't disagree on that issue. We both believe that that is an issue best left between a patient and her doctor. The recent contraceptive debate that was going on in Congress, first of all, I'm a husband. I'm a father of a 13-year-old girl. Those issues are extremely important to me. I was just absolutely appalled at what I saw, and everyone's seen the picture by now of the five men sitting at the table talking about women's health issues, and then as if that were not enough, the further disgust I had at Rush Limbaugh. You know, I'm a strong free speech advocate. But even a strong free speech advocate at some point listens to the poison being spewed by someone like Limbaugh about this issue, and with disgust says someone, you know, needs to silence him. And then you have to take a step back and say, you know, he does have a free speech right, but I was disgusted by the entirety of that. To answer your question about where do I come down on my personal issues versus that of the 13th congressional district, that of Central Illinois. And speaking of faith, I was raised in the Catholic household, and so I have that upbringing. But on those other issues, I've made no bones about it. I don't come down in line with the church on those issues. Mm-hmm. I picked a bad day to start to pick up a cold. I apologize. Yes, I, when I look at how people govern, when I look at how people should represent a district like this, when I've looked at how I've represented Greene County, I represent the people in those areas, and I hope to represent the people of the 13th congressional district. And for someone to say that their personal upbringing doesn't affect the way their decision making is disingenuous, I'm not going to say that. But what I'm going to say is, representing this congressional district and representing Greene County, I represent the interest of those citizens in that area, and that's where I come down on it.
I want to make sure that we're clear on this, or I give you an opportunity to be clear on this, because I also have two emails from people who
had
this is their question. They want to know your position on this. Mm-hmm. So it's what I hear you saying is that you're personally, you would not, in your family would probably not make the decision to have an abortion, but what you believe is that the people of the 13th congressional district should be able to make that choice?
Well, I absolutely just think is this an issue we want Congress kicking around? Congress that is broken, Congress that can't even do the fundamental things that Congress is supposed to be doing for its citizenry. Is this a decision we want them making? And I'm not even telling you about my personal position on that. Sometimes people will understand this. People of faith may understand this. You're at odds with your religion on certain things, but that doesn't mean that your upbringing in that faith was not important. It certainly was, but I'm put at odds with my religion on not just that, but other issues. You know, you're talking about contraception, you're talking about the choice issues, and you know, I've been at odds.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are talking this morning in this hour of Focus with Matt Gatton. He is one of two Democrats that will be competing in the March primary here in Illinois next week for their party spot on the ballot in the new 13th congressional district. We have some other callers. We'll talk some more in just a moment. First, we'll take a short break. This is Focus.
On the next Fresh Air, the debate over whether to bomb nuclear facilities in Iran. The Israeli government has asked for America's help in bombing Iran. The Obama administration says this isn't the time to bomb. We'll talk with David Sanger, the New York Times chief Washington correspondent and author of a forthcoming book about President Obama's foreign policy strategy. Join us.
This afternoon at 1 on AM 580.
Support for WILL comes from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio.
This is Focus, our morning talk show. I'm David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're on WILL AM. We're also webcasting this morning through our website. And if you'd like to watch, you can do that by going to the website. It's WILL.illinois.edu. We are there with the show every – we're streaming, of course. You can listen that way every day. Also, you can listen on the radio. And if you go there, you can check the schedule, and you will find out what we'll be doing for tomorrow and the days after. One more show with a candidate in the primary scheduled for tomorrow in the 10 o'clock hour. Chapin Rose will be here. He is an Illinois state representative, and he is a candidate for the Illinois State Senate in the new 51st district. So we'll talk with him tomorrow. Also tomorrow, we'll be talking with Jane Desmond, professor of anthropology and gender and women's studies at University of Illinois, talking about the animal-human bond. And on the program Friday at 10 o'clock, a regular monthly show on money management and personal finance. Kevin Waspy will be here. He's a lecturer in finance in the College of Business. You can check the schedule, listen to past programs by going to the website, WILL.illinois.edu. We're also on Twitter at Will Public Media, and you can find us on Facebook. The guest in this part of the show is Matt Gatton. He is one of two Democrats who are competing in the Illinois primary next week to have that spot in the new 13th congressional district. His opponent in the primary is David Gill. He was on this program Tuesday, March 6th. That's logged, archived on our website. So if you'd like to go back and listen, you can do that. Also, the two candidates, David Gill and Matt Gatton, will be taking part in a live televised debate here at WILL-TV tonight at 7. So that'll be on TV, also AM, and online. Our guest, Matt Gatton, is the state's attorney for Greene County in Carrollton. That's north of St. Louis. And we're glad to have him here with us in studio. Questions welcome, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. And you can email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. Our next caller is in Champaign County. Let's go right there, line number one. Hello.
Yeah, I hope the issues of your different opinions on health care reform are explored tonight, as well as maybe something on how down you are with the war on terror, as is writ large. But maybe you'll have a moment to say that's probably on David's list too. But I wanted to ask you about you mentioned your degree in labor industrial relations.
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering, have you ever been down with the rank and file at just by happenstance? Your opponent was on a solidarity line and demonstrating with the UAW workers, or putative UAW workers at the Flexengate plant here in town. He has particular interest because one of their complaints is this hexavalent chromium, or chrome 6, as same thing as in Aaron Brockovich, actually. But so I wanted to know if you ever been down on the picket line with somebody, or did you ever work with a union or represent in any way? And I also, on another domestic issue, I'm wondering how you relate to this whole disparity in sentencing and writ large the war on drugs. I realize those are both massive subjects, as well as the other two I've introduced. But
I'll do my best, sir.
All right, I guess I'll hang up.
Okay, well, let's give you a chance to wrestle with those. Go ahead.
Sure. Actually, when I was going when I was attending ILIR, I was also a teaching assistant in the English department. And at that time, there were a number of students at ILIR who had started to attempt to organize the teaching assistants here at the University of Illinois back in the mid-90s. I think they're subsequently they succeeded. Yeah. But at that time, we were looking around, you know, Wisconsin, Michigan, many of the Big Ten schools, the teaching assistants were organized. And although that program is a year and a half, three semester program, and so, I was involved in the beginning of that effort. I've also benefited from working with the state of Illinois. So I benefited from AFSCME, also benefited from IFT, the Federation of Teachers. You know, we have as a high school teacher myself. My wife currently works as an occupational therapist for several school districts in and around the area where we live and benefits from IFT. We have the endorsement in this primary of the AFL-CIO, of the firefighters, of the police, of the teachers. And so, I'm proud of that affiliation. That's something that's important to me. Taking a big shift here, I'll take a chop at you. I think, sir, your question was sentencing disparities. The most obvious of those in the federal system, at least, and keep in mind that I'm a state prosecutor, and so the sentencing guidelines are different for the state of Illinois than they are in the federal system. But the most striking one, and the one you hear most about in the federal sentencing guidelines, is the difference in sentencing between crack cocaine and cocaine. Absolutely, something that is completely unjust. There's no basis, at least in my knowledge of the chemical makeup of the two substances, which would give it some. It only has social implications and something that needs to be addressed. And even though I'm out there talking about job creation, Social Security, and Medicare, these issues in the criminal justice system are ones that I. That I am interested in having that in my background, and that's certainly something that's it's been unfair. You know, people have known that for a long time. It's something that should be corrected.
All right, let's continue. We'll go next to somebody who is on cell phone line number two. Hello.
Hello, hey David. Hey Matt. I would like your guest to comment on his stand on the health care reform, where he stands on it.
All right. What do you think?
Sure. It's an imperfect piece of legislation, to be sure. It pushed the ball forward with things like, as a father of two children, 16 and 13, and I always say that my 16-year-old, I'm convinced he will come to the University of Illinois because, you know, we spend a lot of weekends here going to football games, going to basketball games. I'm sure he wants to come to the University of Illinois, but I'm sure he will be back in my house living with me forever. So it's nice to know that I could keep him on my insurance until he's 25. That's a good thing. It's nice to know that limiting people for access to affordable health insurance because of a pre-existing condition is no longer an issue. It's nice to know that after using a portion of your insurance benefits, you don't suddenly get booted off by your insurance company. Those are positive aspects of that bill. Of course, I have concerns as a former small business owner myself. I have concerns about the financial impact that it's going to have on small businesses. You know, small businesses employ about 75% of the employees in this country. And so I do have a concern about that. It is it's a work in progress. And, you know, when I get to Congress, it's something that obviously is going to be addressed and readdressed over the coming years.
Mm. What do you? I'm just curious. I don't know how much time you spend dealing with constitutional issues, but it's going to come up for review for the Supreme Court, and a lot of people are going to be watching that because it could have a huge impact on the future of the of the proposal. What do you think about the question of whether that's going to stand the constitutional challenge?
I believe it will withstand the constitutional challenge, although if you put me in a room with all of your law professors on this law school, I'm sure that we would have a very vigorous debate about whether or not that's the case. You know, ultimately, the Supreme Court's going to make that decision, but I believe it may pass muster.
All right. Your opponent, Dr. Gill, has someone who, he's a physician and someone who has been a long-time proponent of the idea of single-payer system, which would be his ideal. What do you think of the idea of single-payer? Would that be something that you would like to see us moving toward?
I think the idea of affordable health care for everyone in the country, especially if we espouse to be the greatest country in the world, if that's the case, then there's no question that we should have affordable health care for everyone. My concern with that proposal at the current time is we're looking at a $1.5 trillion delta in our deficit, mm-hmm. In our budget. We are looking at a time when veterans are veterans' benefits are being discussed in Congress right now. And so TRICARE, which is the primary insurer of all military personnel and veterans, they're looking at cuts to TRICARE. You know, as you know, last year, Congressman Tim Johnson and the Republicans in Congress proposed the Ryan budget, which would have ended Medicare as we know it in an effort to reduce that budget. And so while I think a laudable goal is that we have health care, affordable health care for everyone, I just think that that's not realistic at the current time.
Okay. To another caller, Champagne, line number one. Hello.
Thank you again. I'm glad to have another question. The past hour has shown that as a candidate for Congress, you're expected to know everything about everything, details, general, what have you. And my experience has always been that the best way to find out what a candidate is likely to do is to ask, who do you turn to? In matters of foreign affairs, who, as an individual, a scholar, a research group, who do you turn to for that? For financial and economic questions, what researcher or scholar or group do you find has had the best analysis? For almost everything that you're asked, if you haven't got it from your own personal experience, who do you trust? Who do you turn to? Some examples, please, of the personal and professional research you would be doing if elected.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
That's an interesting question.
Great, mm-hmm. great question, sir. And it points out that we're all human, and no one could possibly know the answer to every question. As the Greene County State's Attorney, of course, I defer to subject matter experts in all things. I don't pretend to have the expertise to talk about or to testify about the chemical breakdown of methamphetamine when that's necessary in a criminal case. But to answer your question, I listen to about 8 hours of NPR a day, although if Ira Glass is listening to this broadcast, he's likely going to call me up and say why I haven't contributed this year yet. So being informed by news is important, of course. There are resources. I was very proud to have received the endorsement of Vote Vets. It's a progressive veterans organization that is very interested in foreign and energy policy, and they're associated with a place called the Truman Project, who does very good work in both of those areas. That's one example of that. On the economy, we have in this congressional district some of the greatest institutions of higher learning, not only in Illinois but in the world. And I'm biased, of course, because I attended this one twice, and I happen to think it's the best one. But using resources like that, when we talk about education, I talk about it from the standpoint of, you know, my own personal experience, but also talking to administrators in this school, Illinois Westland, Lewis and Clark Community Colleges. We have a rich educational heritage here in Central Illinois, and those are the types of people that we're talking to when we're looking at our policy judgments.
All right, let's continue. We just have about 7-8 minutes left, and I want to get on to another caller here. This is somebody in Thomasboro. We'll get them here. Line number one. Hello.
Good morning. You know, as these wars continue, there's about a million of us already trying to get medical care from the Department of Veteran Affairs. It's delayed, denied, and ineffective.
Right.
We got the backlog in the VA, as you're probably aware, close to 1 million seeking care, where they're still applying for care and hasn't been approved. And we got 15% of the active duty force right now in the Army is non-deployable because of medical issues, and they're waiting medical discharge. If you get into Congress, how are you going to force the Department of Defense and the VA to finally provide prompt and optimal medical care? And as we just been revealed, you know, with all this tragedy in Afghanistan,
right,
they literally changed hundreds and hundreds of PTSD diagnoses, denying care to these individuals.
What I'm not going to do is to make the budget swallow the poisonous pill that the super committee made the Department of Defense swallow in $500 billion in cuts, which were, in my mind, irresponsible. I am a veteran myself, sir. Veterans' issues are very important to me. I'm going to do everything I can to see that that happens. Look, my former Congressman Phil Hare was a Navy veteran, and he was attempting to just get a feasibility study to put a rural veterans outpost, a veterans assistance outpost, north of where I live. And they couldn't get that done. It was not much money. It was a feasibility study. I'm familiar with your issues. In my own county, the voters denied we put it on the ballot last time, but the voters voted down an initiative which would cost the average household about, I think it was $50 a year, which to create a Veterans Assistance Commission. Our veterans in Greene County have to go to St. Louis to get care. The Veterans Assistance Commission provides them transportation to and from.
One of the big problems, though, is the constant policy decisions to deny care as a consequence of the toxic exposure.
Right.
What's happened. So money doesn't fix that. I mean, the directives are there to provide care already. The programs are there to provide care. How do we get the current, you know, General Shinseki, Secretary of Defense, how do we get them to alter their conscious decisions that deny care and deny correlation?
I mean, that's a problem. I agree with you. What I believe that we need to do is what VoteBets believes we need to do, and that is to get more veterans elected to Congress who are thinking about those issues and who will address those issues. And I agree with you. But without more voices in Congress, and you probably know this, sir. You sound very well informed on the issue, but I heard recently that the number of veterans currently in Congress is the lowest it's been in our country's history. I'm not a single issue guy here, but veterans issues are extremely important to me, and that's why we need to, I think, elect more veterans to Congress.
We're just coming down. I want to thank the caller. We're coming down to just having a couple of minutes left. I want to ask you one very specific defense-related issue. And that is, I think that a lot of people are concerned that maybe one of the biggest threats to the interest of the United States is the possibility that Iran could develop nuclear weapons. And there is talk about whether or not military action should be taken to prevent that. What should the United States do about that?
A nuclear-armed Iran is unacceptable, in my opinion. But I always believe that we have to try diplomacy until our diplomatic efforts have been exhausted. As someone who's been to Afghanistan, as someone who's seen firsthand what we get when we decide to enter into an armed conflict, especially with boots on the ground, that is a last resort. But I will say that every option needs to be on the table when we're talking about a nuclear armed Iran who could completely destabilize that region of the world.
Well, how do you make that decision if you get to the point where you have been carrying out diplomacy, let us suppose that we're really sure. We know that they have a nuclear weapon, or that it's you know, weeks or months right. away, that we can be as sure as we can be. And we have exhausted the diplomatic means. Would you then support direct military action by the United States against Iran?
I would not take any of those options off the table. If I were convinced that that was the option of last resort, then I would vote. I would use force when force was necessary. But again, you're asking me to. I know I'm in the hot seat today, and I appreciate that. Yeah. And it's all, as I tell people who have never been in a courtroom, it's easy to play Monday morning quarterback after the fact. It's very difficult to be sitting there making that decision. But again, it's got to be an issue of last resort.
Right. A little easier question. I want to come back to Medicare just because it did come up. We know that it's extremely expensive, and that a lot of people say unless we make some kind of changes, we just can't support the cost
right.
of the program.
Right.
In what way would you change Medicare, and in what way would you change it?
Right. In Medicare Advantage was designed to work better. It's more expensive. It's something that needs to be looked at. When we look at one specific thing that could be done immediately is allow Medicare, just as TRICARE does, to negotiate the price of pharmaceuticals of medicine, negotiate directly with the companies to reduce those costs. I mean, that's one thing off the top of my head.
What about Social Security? Would you change that system?
Well, Social Security is so vitally important, and I know we're running out of time. I have a story about my son and how important it was for my wife and I when he was first born, 3.5 months premature. The long-term solvency of Social Security is extremely important. It's been one of our most important social safety networks, and currently we need to preserve it. We need to preserve it.
Just one quick question. Someone noted that you're, and I mentioned the fact that you're from this town, Carrollton, which
yes,
is north of St. Louis, and which is all the way at the other end of the district, practically in the Mississippi River. So it goes from here all the way over there. And someone was
sometimes
saying,
you're closer than others.
just someone was just wondering, you know, can you really serve the interests of all of the people of this big district?
That's a great question.
And I'll give you about 30 seconds.
Sure, that's a great question. Having spent 5 of the best years of my life here in Champaign. And anytime I get on 72 from Springfield to come over, which is several dozen times a year to come to Champaign-Urbana, I've lived here. I grew up here, not in Champaign, but in this district. I've gone to school over here, worked in Springfield. This district or this Central Illinois is special to me, and I'm never leaving, congressman or no.
All right. Well, there we're going to have to leave it. Our guest, Matt Getten, he is a Greene County State's Attorney. He is also a Democratic candidate for Congress. He is one of two that will be competing for the spot on the ballot in the new 13th District. David Gill is the other. He was on the show Tuesday, March 6th. That's on our web archive if you want to see that interview. And again, both candidates, David Gill, Matt Getten, will be meeting for a live debate in our television studio here at WILL-TV tonight at 7. So you can see that. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.